Who is it that truly prospers in this world? Well, I suppose it depends on who you ask. Because if you ask the world will tell you that it is the ruthless, the cunning, the wicked who prosper the most. And of course, they have a good reason for saying that. Because just looking at the world as it is seems to prove their point. It is the greedy who become wealthy. It is those who are willing to step on others, those who are ruthless, who quickly rise to the top. We've all heard the saying, nice guys finish last. And this is all true, and the wicked seem to prosper, even as the righteous seem to suffer. Because the righteous are taken advantage of. They lose opportunities because they're unwilling to do what is wrong. And so we end up with a problem. We end up with a question. Why should I be righteous? Why should I follow after God? What advantage is there in being a Christian compared to the world? Especially when it's the wicked who seem to prosper the most. And Christians, it's not like this is a new question by any means. There are many passages within the Bible that wrestle with it. David, in Psalm 37, our Old Testament reading for today, struggles with the difference between the righteous and the wicked, especially when it seems that it's the wicked who are doing better in this life. He begins the psalm, verse 1, where he says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers." But of course, our temptation is to fret. Why should the wicked do better than the righteous? Why should evil flourish? Why does it seem like things are getting worse rather than getting better? Why does it seem like our enemies become more and more and more, even as the church gets smaller and smaller and smaller? But David tells us not to fret. Though the wicked prosper, their evil will not endure. They rise only to fall, because the one who truly prospers is the righteous. The one who truly follows after God. Their good will endure forever, because God rewards the one who faithfully follows after him. And so that we can understand this a bit more clearly, Christians, we first have to see something important about this psalm, Psalm 37. This psalm in particular is what is called an acrostic poem. An acrostic poem is a poem where the first letter of each line or each stanza follows a particular pattern. So maybe it spells something out, for example, or it follows a specific pattern. And in the Bible, whenever you see these kinds of poems, they usually follow the Hebrew alphabet. So that the first line, for example, would be A, the second line would be B, and so forth. And in this one in particular, this is exactly what is happening. Sometimes it's two verses that are part of the stanza, sometimes it's one, sometimes it's three. But each one is the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the reason why this is so important is because it helps us to understand David's point. He wants us to take all of this together. He wants us to consider the whole psalm as one, so that each part is explaining another part. It's kind of like looking at the same thing from a different angle, or holding up a gemstone and looking at it from a different viewpoint, constantly changing where you're looking. And so when we see that, we will be able to compare each of these parts and have a full understanding of what it is that he means. Because he wants to show us why it is better to be righteous rather than to be wicked. Especially when it's the wicked who seem to do better in this life. So let's take the first stanza then of our reading for today, starting at verse 25. I have been young, and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing." Because on the one hand, Christians, how often does it seem like the opposite is true? How often does it seem like it's the righteous who are forsaken and the wicked who are blessed? How often do we see those who are evil, those who turn away from God, become wealthy? They seem to get everything that they've ever wanted. They never have to suffer any kind of need. They're always able to prosper, even while the righteous are the ones who struggle to make ends meet. Yet what David says is true, Christians. The righteous are the ones who are truly blessed. And even if they don't have as much as the wicked do, yet even what they have is a blessing from God, because it helps them to keep their eyes focused on God. It helps them to always follow after what God wants them to do. And their children also become a blessing. Their goodness continues from generation to generation because God blesses them in a way that the wicked will never be blessed. So yes, Christians, it is good to be righteous. It is good to follow after the Lord. Let's skip down a few stanzas, starting at verse 32. "The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial." There is nothing that the world hates more than the light of God. As John tells us, it would rather be in darkness because it hates the light. It doesn't want its evil deeds to be exposed. And so the wicked then attack the righteous. They call what is evil good, and they call what is good evil, trying to turn everything upside down. Or even they just mock the righteous. They mock those who follow after God, making fun of them, saying that they are somehow just hypocrites, or that they are tyrannical, they're just trying to have their own way. But Christians, God will not let the wicked win. God will uphold his saints, so that all the mockery and all of the attacks of the wicked will come to nothing. It is the righteous who will endure forever. And even if we lose everything at the hands of the wicked, we still have God. And that is a treasure that can never be taken away. Let's skip down another couple of stanzas. Verse 35. "I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found." David compares the wicked to a tree, because a tree seems to be something that truly endures, something that lasts from generation to generation. When a tree is fully grown, it's very difficult to bring it down. You can't uproot it because it is firmly fixed into the ground. A tree seems to be something that's going to last forever. So it is also with the wicked. They have so much. It seems like they're so well established, like they have everything they could ever want, that they are the ones who are prospering instead of the righteous. But a tree does not last forever. A tree can be cut down, and it might blow away in the wind, be knocked over by a storm, dry up and wither away. And once that tree is gone, where is it? It can no longer be found. Its place will be forgotten. So it is also with the wicked. God will give to them what they deserve. And even though they seem to be prospering, even though they seem to be flourishing, God will judge them in this life and in the end. Though they seem to be so immovable, they must answer to God so that they never truly prosper in this world. One more stanza, verse 37. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. This is probably the main point here that David is trying to make throughout the entire psalm. It is the righteous who has a future, the righteous man who endures. And not just in the life to come, although that's important too, but also right now. Righteousness is not something that benefits us only in eternity. Righteousness is good even in this life. Because when we do what is right for the sake of our neighbor, when we do what God has prepared us to do, then we are doing something that lasts to eternity. Because God does not forget the things that we have done for him. But the wicked will be cut off. Their evil which they do perishes in the moment which they do it. They have no future at all. It is better to do what is right, Christians, and to build for eternity than to do something which exists only in the moment and soon passes away. And Christians, do we not see the truth of this above all in our Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus says in Matthew 7, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And though many a storm may beat against that house, because it is built on the rock, it shall not be shaken." It is built on the rock that is Jesus. It is built on his words, which will never pass away. And the blessing which Christ gives to us is not only for this life. It is something which endures into eternity. As Jesus says, John 5, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Jesus' words are the words of life and truth. Jesus' words bring eternal life. They are the greatest treasure of all. The wicked turns away from them thinking that they are foolish, but his works will perish. The righteous listens to these words and holds on to them, and what he does endures into eternity. So Christians, let us walk in the way of righteousness. Let us listen to the voice of Jesus. As Paul says in Romans 12, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord." Because those who love others, because of God first loving them, will find a treasure and a blessing which will never pass away. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, help us to always follow after you and to listen to your voice, because you have the words of truth and life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.